The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 10th chapter. Jesus said to the 12, "A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher, and the slave like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I also will deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I've been thinking about this question this week. It doesn't necessarily appear to have anything to do with the gospel, but we'll see. Do you know the phrase, "Will it play in Peoria?" I remember hearing that phrase when I was a kid. I had an uncle that was a vaudevillian, and he used to hop the railroad and go from town to town to town with the group called the Harmonica Rascals. They weren't the Harmonic Cats, they were the next group in New York. And we, just this past year, found a playbill in the old history books down at the Orpheum that said, "My Uncle Dave played in Galesburg." But that question, "Will it play in Peoria?" comes from those old vaudeville days. And the meaning behind it was kind of, you know, if it'll play in a medium-sized city in the middle of the country, it should play anywhere. What I didn't know until more recently is that it wasn't just theater people who used that phrase. After a time, Pepsi started using it. And when they started marketing new products, they'd take them to Peoria first. Did you know this? This is what happens when you come from out of state and you want to learn about where you're living. You look up all sorts of random things that the locals don't know. So they started marketing things in Peoria, because if it goes over well in Peoria, then that's probably a good demographic cross-section of America, and it should go over pretty well in the rest of the country. But we're not all that far from Peoria. They could have said Galesburg, but they didn't. At any rate, that brings me to the gospel today. Because Jesus has some hard, hard sayings in this gospel text. He talks about family members getting set apart and across from each other. He talks about violence. He talks about taking up our cross. Whoever loves family member more than Jesus is not worthy of Jesus. Whoever does not take up their cross is not worthy of Jesus. These are hard words. What do they mean? Well, Jesus taught some radical things. And if you put them up to a popular poll, like, will this play in Peoria? They might not always have play. When Jesus reached out and touched the leper, if you would have taken a poll in Peoria and asked people, do you think that's a good idea to reach out and touch lepers? What do you think polls would have said? Yeah, no, don't touch lepers. In fact, we have it in Scripture. See, the Old Testament, a big part of this book, it says don't do that. When Jesus talked to the woman at the well, if you would have asked in downtown Jerusalem, let's take a poll. Do you think a Jewish man ought to talk to a Samaritan woman? Survey says, no. It would not have proverbially played in Peoria. Not only did he talk to her, though, he told her all about herself. He accepted her just the way he was. And once she had heard him speak, she could not help but go and tell everyone who he was, what he had done. She was an evangelist. She was a witness. Not because she was compelled by her church. Now, you need to make 4 new converts this week and come back and report to me. She did so out of sheer joy. You know the rest of the stories. The woman who was hemorrhaging, survey says, was that Jesus' problem? No. But she was healed anyway. The person waiting by the pool of Siloam for so many years for some help to get into the pool so he could be healed. And Jesus just says, do you want to be healed? Get up and walk. Your sins are forgiven. If you would have asked in Jerusalem, does Jesus have the power to forgive sins? Everybody would have said no. Jesus is countercultural. In almost every culture, And sometimes we as Christians get swept up into popular culture. And we forget that we're followers of Jesus. We are called to pick up our cross and follow Jesus. What does that mean? When Jesus says, love your enemies, survey says, oh, I'm not doing that. All over the world, survey says, I'm not doing that. And when Jesus was nailed to the cross, what does he say? But Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. What is it to take up our cross? Is it to forgive in the most difficult circumstances? It might be. When Jesus is talking about parents and children being set apart and across the aisle from each other, he's not saying the followers of Jesus are the ones taking up the sword, but that the followers of Jesus will not be popular. Not necessarily. Because Jesus' love and forgiveness and mercy are more than the world can hear about right now. More than they want to hear about. It starts young. You know, have you ever been like at a cafeteria table in a junior high when a group of kids say, hey, let's pick on so-and-so. It doesn't matter if the whole cafeteria is full of Christians, right? We hope it matters. But the majority will always say, yeah, let's do that. Sounds like fun. That's what Jeremiah was coping with in his day. Myrna read this and I wish I had more time to expound on it, but we will talk about it in our adult class after worship. Jeremiah was proclaiming to the people, you know what? Jerusalem's about to go down. It was an awful message. Nobody wanted to hear it. And so he was persecuted. Now the other prophets of his day were saying, no, everything's fine. We're going to be fine. Just keep doing what you're doing. You're good. You're fine. And Jeremiah was like, God, why did you even pick me? I am so unpopular. Nobody wants to hear what I have to say. But Jeremiah kept proclaiming God's message out of a hope that people would turn back to God. Jesus says things that are told in the dark, they'll all be revealed. You know what things you would like to see revealed? Where you'd like to see light shining on shadows? Where you'd like to have dark places exposed for what they are? Well, the good news is that God does too. God does too. And in the end, God's justice and mercy and love win. Jesus says worry isn't going to help you. He says it pretty frequently and in all sorts of different ways. Worry's not going to help you. For heaven's sakes, when a sparrow falls out of the nest, God knows it.
You can get two for a penny. They were the offering of the poorest of the poor. God sees the spell. Do you think God does not see human suffering? For heaven's sakes, the hairs on your head are numbered. God knows how many. I know for some of you that doesn't seem like a big trick, but God knew how many hairs you had on your head when you had hair on your head. God remembers. Don't you see? You and all of God's creation are priceless. You and all God's creation were redeemed for a purpose. I had the strangest dream just before I woke up this morning. I was running to get out of a house that was full of bad things, bad people, bad carnivorous dogs. And everybody here knows I love dogs. And so I'm racing to get all the good people out of the house and all the good dogs out of the house. And I'm at this door and I'm helping people and dogs get out. And I got everybody out that I love. And then at the door, it's a glass door, there's another dog. And darn it, that is just the cutest dog. So I let that one go. And then another one. And each dog that comes to the door now is cuter and more lovable than all the rest. And of course, I have to keep letting them out. They're all going to be free. They're all going to be free. They're all so lovable. And when I woke up, I told my husband about this. He said, "No, you can't go to the pound today." But I think it relates to what I was worrying about when it comes to this sermon. Don't you know? You are all precious and priceless to God. Maybe you've had doors closed on you because somebody has judged you. God doesn't. For God, the door and the welcome to that love is always wide open. Receive it. For you are named and claimed and beloved. And then share it. Because you know people who think the door is closed. Aren't you of more value than a sparrow? Or a dog? May the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.